Blog Talk Radio. In today's audio blog, I'm going to begin with a reading from my live journal from April 13th of 2008. It's a departure from what I usually do, but it applies directly to today's topic, discharging karma. Karma is more complex than I have seen it described, and there are aspects of it that I have not found addressed anywhere. Today's show will focus on the lesser-known pitfalls of karmic entanglements. Recent experience has clearly demonstrated a new level of the connection between the wellness of the soul and the wellness of the body. Holistic practitioners recognize illness as a manifestation of spiritual and psychological misalignment, but the magician can take it a step farther by recognizing that spiritual and/or psychological misalignment actually indicates the misalignment of will and will. What is new territory is the recognition that one's energetic system is not limited to oneself, and, assuming one has them, any associated astral or etheric spirits, such as the Holy Guardian Angel, demons, elementals, etc. I will begin by defining this new category of illness based on dysfunctions on the level of soul as missing, misaligned, or misbehaving synergy partner syndrome. You could use a lot of other miss words here with accuracy, but the misaligned seems to be the top of this category. Without going into too many details of the actual transactions that surface this insight, I will tell you that there is a way to identify misaligned synergy partner illnesses and how to recognize them as different from ordinary physical illnesses or illnesses due to misalignment of will. First, both misaligned synergy partner illnesses and alignment of will illnesses have the characteristic of being intractable. Nothing one does has any real effect. Medical and psychological treatments are palliative at best, but usually end up being harmful. Alignment of will illnesses, however, remit or disappear once will is brought into realignment, and usually do not get much worse during the process of seeking that realignment. Missing synergy partner illnesses, however, are usually made much worse by attempts to realign will. Attempts to use realignment of will to treat missing synergy partner issues usually result in failure, often disastrous failure, accompanied by a sharp increase in the severity of symptoms. One quickly discovers that there is no offset one can use to rebalance one's focus in the afflicted area. Why is that? That is because you are treating only yourself, and the malady is coming from an energetic imbalance in a relationship with another being, one who often is not even known to you. Secondly, misaligned synergy partner illnesses have the characteristic of not coming in pairs or sets, rather as standalone issues. For example, I am allergic to wheat, not to gluten or to other foods like everyone else who has that allergy. I react only to wheat. All illnesses that are purely internal to one's individual system come in sets, usually pairs. For example, the same BRCA gene can cause both breast and ovarian cancers. The same defective sodium ion channel is involved with both cystic fibrosis and a variant form of Crohn's disease, which is a chronic inflammatory bowel disease. There are diseases that are internal to an individual being and have an organic origin, even when they may be activated or exacerbated by a psychological or spiritual imbalance. Because these are organic diseases, they can be treated by organic means. This means cures certainly do exist, although they may not have been discovered yet. Diseases arising from psychological or spiritual disturbances have the characteristic of being variable, with no traceable reason for the variation in one's habits or environment. Any disease of the immune system, from allergies to lupus, exemplifies the connection between psycho-spiritual imbalance and physical disease. Studies of individuals with autoimmune issues revealed that nearly 100% of these individuals suffered serious trauma or abuse as children, and it is likely that the small remainder of these individuals either are suppressing the memories of the trauma or are in denial about it. This is the reason why NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, a sort of psychological chiropractic, is effective in treating allergies and autoimmunity when allopathic medicine fails totally and natural medicine is only partially effective. The disease pairing in these cases is between a disturbance in the energetic system and a corresponding disturbance in the physical system. The energetic cause of misaligned synergy partner illnesses, however, lies outside of one's individual system and is therefore almost impossible to diagnose or treat. This insight landed upon me when I encountered the person who was almost certainly linked to me energetically, and we had barely scratched the surface of getting to know one another when I realized that we had far too many strange things in common for this to be random. Some of those strange things were physical symptoms and events that shaped our lives and made no sense to us, and were not anything we were able to directly affect through our own actions. It is widely recognized that an individual can only control their own behavior and their own energy system. But consider the case of the magician and the holy guardian angel. What the one does affects the other because they are connected as an energy system. Should I foul up too badly, I could quite literally drag my angel down with me and vice versa. Thus the unique bond of trust that must exist between such pairings. What if a bond like that existed between people? Well, I think I have evidence that it does. By the way, I hate the term soulmate, so I won't use that term. I prefer the less romantically loaded and more technically accurate term synergy partner, because that is what it is, two halves of a synergetic dynamo, one that creates its own existence, energy, and meta-will. In the ideal case, the aligned wills of the synergy partners can combine to create a larger will that is greater than the sum of its parts. The effect of this powerful self-creating will, however, is a double-edged sword. When it is uncontrolled and out of alignment, it is dangerous to its partners. Now consider how seldom such partnered individuals actually manage to meet in the real world, or even have the chance to coordinate in the life between lives. So there is no chance of them aligning or controlling this will. I have a magical memory that goes back to the earliest stages of the building of this universe, and I never found a synergetic partner. Never. Not even an inkling that one existed. I saw that I was the exception in this, but didn't know what to do about it other than to continue to search and search and search, lifetime after really unfortunate lifetime. At some point about 5 lifetimes ago, I managed to pry loose confirmation of a truth I had long suspected. Such a partner did exist for me, but was not going to manifest. I got the sense that I was being actively avoided and probably rejected. Since we were not meeting or interacting, it was impossible to align forces. In fact, it not only guaranteed a misalignment, it actually made the misalignment worse than it would have been had it remained entirely separate and random, because I was awake and aware and doing things that affected us both, without any way of knowing what the effects would be on anyone but myself. I'm not sure whether my experience with this was typical or not, but the argument I was given when I insisted that we be allowed to meet and align went as follows. First, such a meeting is subject to free will, and both wills must agree to meet. And second, any awakening or attempt to align at this point would mean that the other would suffer the particular tortures of the damned that I was suffering. That's where, on a conscious level at least, the whole do the right thing started. In recognition of the fact that two wrongs do not make a right, and that there was a good chance that I was being wronged, I chose instead to do what I thought was the right thing. So I absorbed the pain and illness of misalignment. The effect of this lay waste to several lifetimes, including much of this one, but it was the right thing to do, and I'm a very, very stubborn being. Meanwhile, with nothing to awaken the other half of the equation, and with me absorbing all the bad stuff, he kept skating through a number of easy, and in one case at least, extraordinarily successful lives. Miracles were the norm for him. He had no reason to fear anything, no reason to look beyond himself, no reason to need courage or will, much less magic or a synergy partner, particularly not one as beaten up as I was becoming. The lack of challenge he experienced due to my good-intentioned refusal to share the pain had created a spiritual debility in him akin to atrophy of a muscle through chronic disuse, one that manifested catastrophically in his health when he finally did wake up into a life that had the same characteristics I had been dealing with all along. His momentum from the previous lives carried him for a while, but the closer he got to intersecting with me, the more his life began to look like mine and the worse his physical symptoms became. In a nutshell, when diagnosing diseases caused by misaligned synergy partner or alignment of will, look for a physical condition that is also a metaphor for a spiritual condition. For example, I can't stomach that may equal digestive upsets such as ulcers, indigestion, or reflux. I am my own worst enemy can be associated with autoimmunity or cancer. I feel like I'm about to explode almost always indicates high blood pressure or aneurysm. This works as a linguistic diagnostic for all forms of disease, but in the case of misaligned synergy partner syndrome, the metaphoric link between spiritual and physical debility may be especially dramatic. The following is an update dated July 1, 2009. Discharging the energetic link is similar to surgery. It severs the malformed link between yourself and the source of the illness. Understand that you are likewise a source of illness to this other person. I imagine that this could be one reason behind the prevalence of divorces and other catastrophic breakups. At some point in the past, a lot of us ended up with tangled energies. Understand that if one finds oneself in a misaligned relationship, discharging this link is required, even if the person is a spouse or a best friend. The links are exceptionally strong and can be quite addictive. I know from personal experience that this is excruciatingly painful, but it is always, always the correct thing to do for both entities. Another thing to know about these connections is that the illness so engendered does not limit itself to just the body. It also infects the entire being. When I severed the link I referred to above, I was finally able to connect properly with a new synergy partner, with whom I am now doing many interesting and useful works. Had I not severed the old malformed link, not only would my health have remained in danger, my whole purpose in being here would have been jeopardized. Lastly, once you've severed a link like this, don't look back, and don't judge yourself or the other person over it. Don't what if. The relationship came about for the sole purpose of separating the energies. Think of it as a boil working its way to the surface. When the link is severed, think of it as lancing the boil so healing can finally take place. That you have done this is justification enough. You saw the problem and you dealt with it. There is no right or wrong, no blame, no guilt. And it has happened to enough of us that I'm pretty sure it is a systemic issue, not a personal one.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me tonight. I apologize for the audio not being quite the quality that I usually do. This last couple of weeks is starting to catch up to me. I'm having to do a lot of things and do them fast. It's actually a sign of success. So, usually I take out some of the pauses and stuff like that that I didn't get around to do on this particular one. I'll clean it up later on if I do something else with it. Karma. We all know that karma is something that we don't want to attract to ourselves, and if we have it, that we probably ought to get rid of it. But how many people realize that karma isn't just the result of things that you do, and it's not just limited to you? The whole universe out there is a linked system. We are all related. We are all interrelated. All things form networks. It's just the nature of the way things are. Causality is not a straight line. It is a network. It's a vector sum. Your relationships with other people are vector sums. And karma is a network and forms vector sums the same way. So, as I described in my blog entry that I read into the audio blog, I discovered that it's possible to suffer a karmic influence when you don't even know the person that it's coming from. I bore this fellow no ill will whatsoever. I actually went to bat for him at one point, because I thought that was the right thing to do. This was before I realized there was a karmic connection. I knew there was something there, some energy there, but I couldn't tell you what it was on first seeing it. I just thought, hey, maybe the universe means that we're supposed to do something together, because we had an awful lot of things that we had in common. And I started to realize as we got to know each other that things were not they weren't coincidences. They were far too many coincidence-like points, data points, in our respective experience for it to be coincidence. I started looking at that and going, what am I really looking at here? And about the time I started doing that, I guess he had noticed the same thing, because he started behaving in the most bizarre fashion I have ever seen anyone behave. It didn't matter what I said or what I did, he was going to take it wrong. I'm beginning to realize that when you've got a really nasty karmic relationship with someone, whether you're aware of it or not, one of the pointers for that is the other person is going to behave like a complete schmutz. They're going to just go off the rocker when you're around. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say. There's no amount of peace you can try to put between you. There's no communication that will overcome this. because whatever you are putting out, his brain is filtering in such a way that you're never going to get any of it through until the bond is severed. I didn't understand that at the time. I was sitting there going, what the heck? I mean, it took twists and turns that I could never have expected. And it literally cost me a six-figure job. I had to leave my work. I had to leave my position to get away from this because it was getting stranger by the minute. And I couldn't deal with it. And I knew from the way things were looking that something was going to happen and, you know, I was going to get blamed for something. And I figured, okay, it's better for me just take the hit now and get out. It wasn't until I had already made that decision. I hadn't actually left the company, but I had already made the decision to do so that I realized what I was looking at. I realized that the energetic connection was old karma. And I realized what I had to do. And I realized looking back over it also that I had been doing it. I had slowly been working through the stages necessary to get to the final denouement of the situation. And it was just basically at that point flipping a switch, which I did. And I picked a good day to do it. I did it on July 4th. And every one of the fireworks that went up, I could imagine that karmic bond going kablooey. And I was able to enlist the assistance of my angel and my demon to go and make sure that the same thing was occurring on the other end. And actually, it was kind of interesting in that when I observed the situation deepening, the person had a serious health issue. And I had been developing that exact issue, which I don't have a tendency towards that at all. And I was going, where is this coming from? And I thought at the time, well, maybe he's kind of like projecting some of his illness onto me, you know, kind of the reverse of a healer that takes an illness onto themselves, which is kind of a dangerous way of doing it, but some people are very effective with it. I was thinking, well, maybe you can reverse that. Maybe you can project that onto somebody else. It wasn't until I got to the point where I had clarity on the issue that I realized he had been using that karmic bond to project all manner of things onto me so that he didn't have to deal with them. Everything that was coming to him, towards him, that was going to be a problem, health-wise, fortune-wise, whatever, he had been riding me and making me take the damage so that he was free to do whatever he wanted to do. And he was ticked off at me horrendously because I was getting ready to put an end to it. It's like, nope, sorry, you're going to have to grow on your own from this point on. I still haven't figured out how we ended up connected. I don't remember how that happened. Which is really eerie for me because I remember a lot. But there it is. That was my karmic experience. It was the eye-opener. I'm hoping some of y'all have some karmic experiences you'd like to share or to ask about, or perhaps you have some insights that would apply to the question of karma. And I would definitely welcome some callers on that subject. Another thing that more recently that I came across is that at the time that I wrote this, I thought it could only happen between two people, but it's not true. You can have karmic bonds with as few as two and as many as thousands of people. People that have shared a traumatic experience, for example, 9/11, they have a karmic link with each other. They don't even necessarily have to have met one another during that incident to share that karmic bond, because it's the situation. A karmic bond can form around a lot of different things. It can form around a person. It can form around a place, a thing, an event, a particular period in time. All of those things can create a karmic bond. So you realize now that the network that you have is actually very, very large. And most of these karmic bonds are not going to directly cause an illness. In some cases, they may. I think sometimes some of the things we see with these fellows that come back from the wars or from traumatic things that have happened with post-traumatic stress, if they don't manage to discharge that during the lifetime, that it may follow them into a next lifetime. And it may actually serve to connect them with other people who were involved in the situation that gave them the trauma. So that's why I wonder about people like the little boy who was the fighter pilot. He was born knowing everything there was to know about planes from, I think it was World War II. Is the reason that he's remembering that because he needs to discharge karma from that time? I really would be curious to see what happens as he starts to get older and if he becomes more spiritually aware, if he comes to that same conclusion. There's also the karmic bond that you can form with somebody who's no longer accessible to you. Either they've passed away or they've moved away. Perhaps you've gotten a divorce. Maybe you were in a really good relationship and it went bad. Same thing with a best friend. Or maybe you just moved to different parts of the country and you don't see each other anymore. How do you deal with a karmic bond when you no longer have access to the person? And that one strikes really close to home with me also, because the people that raised me, and at this point, I'm sorry, I'm not going to call my family. They're not my family. They are the people that raised me, and I respect them for having done that. But they didn't act like a family, and I don't think they deserve to be called a family. The people that raised me are all dead. And because of the situation that I grew up in, I know I've got to have karma there. But it's not like I can get on the phone and talk to them and say, you know, we've got karma, and I would like to discharge it. How do you discharge karma unilaterally? Well, the answer to that, unfortunately, is you can't. Because I guarantee you, if I have karma because of the way that I was treated when I was growing up, they have karma also, and specifically, they have a karmic debt. Karmic debts are another form of karma that must be discharged. You think, oh, I have karmic debts from everybody. I am set up here. I should be able to win the lottery anytime. It doesn't work that way. Because it's not just a drag on the person who owes the debt. In fact, it can actually, like Mike's previous experience shows, he didn't care how much karmic debt he racked up. All he cared about was he was getting a free ride. And believe me, there are some entities out there that doesn't bother them one little bit. I have a discussion every now and again with a friend of mine who talks about karma. And he's of the opinion that karma doesn't work. No, karma works. It doesn't work the way he thinks it works. But it just shows that it doesn't look like it works sometimes, because it doesn't come around in a in a fashion that makes it apparent that when something happens, that it's actually karma discharging from a previous event, because the symbology isn't linked well enough, or there's too much separation in time, or perhaps the people who were involved are no longer around. So it may not look like it's working, but it is working at all times. And that karmic debt thing, that's something you have to be careful about. You can owe someone a karmic debt and go to them and try to discharge it, and they will reject you. They are so ticked off at you that they don't want to have anything to do with you and don't realize that you're actually trying to mend a fence. Even if you don't ever want to be friends with them, you're still trying to do the right thing, and they don't realize it. So what do you do? What do you do in these situations? It comes down to something that I would call kissing cousin to Ho'oponopono. It's not just saying that to yourself. It's also saying that to the other person. And saying it in such a way that it discharges within that person and takes away their debt also. And I'm a little bit tempted to say that this might have been, and I this is a reach, this might have been the root of the idea of a savior, of someone who's capable of taking away someone else's sins. But the trick here is that it's not a particular person. It's each of us. We all are each other's saviors, and we are our own savior. And we are using this energy work, this discharging of karmic debt, ours and those that are owed to us. We are responsible for discharging these imbalances and breaking up these causal networks. Because you know what those causal networks are going to do? They're going to hold you to 3D. Because it's like a spider web, and it's going to hold you trapped. You want to go to someplace other than 3D? You have to break yourself loose of that. And the only way you can do it, you can clean yourself out to where you won't owe anybody any karma at all. Now, that's a reach. It's hard to do. I would say it's not impossible, but boy, it's hard to do. But most people never think about doing the flip side. How do I go through the process of forgiving the debts that are owed to me? Because after all, they owe me. Yeah, no. I'll tell you what I've been doing. When I find myself thinking about a situation in the past, first of all, I'm not living in the now moment, so that's a problem. But perhaps I need to not be in the now moment every now and again so that I can deal with stuff like this. When I find myself thinking about stuff in the past, I don't know about other people, but When I find myself dredging around in the past, it's very seldom recreational. It's usually something back there is still bothering me. And it's not just remembering my birthday party when I was 3 years old or something. Oh, wait a minute, I have an unpleasant memory associated with that, too. You know? But I take that opportunity to consider where I might have an entanglement. Where have I got something that's a negative? Where's something that's still bothering me? You might not understand why something bothers you. You have a memory of something that occurred, and it bothers you disproportionately to what happened. That's because for some reason or other, there was something tied to it. They've got an energy entanglement in that location for whatever reason. It may be something that you maybe let yourself down, and maybe the entanglement is entirely inside of you. But again, maybe the entanglement has meaning, and it's something you need to address. I'm sitting here thinking of a few things that happened to me in my life that kind of stick out like that. I'll give you one of them. When I was in grade school, I had a friend of mine who had the most marvelous pencils in the world. You know, kids are into that sort of thing. And I really and truly, you know, wanted her pencils. Of course, you know, I wasn't going to steal them, and I wasn't going to covet them necessarily, but I was, they were pretty high on my agenda. I couldn't find them anywhere. I tried to find similar ones for myself and wasn't able to. And I had, towards the end of school there, I had borrowed a pencil from her because the lead on mine broke. And I thought I had given it back. And I get home from the last day of school, and I unpack my stuff, and I find her pencil. And I'm going, I bet she thinks I stole her pencil on purpose, because she knew I really liked those pencils. I'm going, oh, my God, she thinks I stole this. And I felt so bad because of how much I had wanted them. I knew there was an energetic thing going on there. And here I have the thing, even though I didn't consciously take it. Well, fast forward about a decade, and I am going to college. I only went a couple of semesters, but I did some very interesting things while I was there. I was on student council and all kinds of stuff that I'd wanted to do all along and hadn't been able to. at any rate, I'm going to the student council office, and guess who's in there? Because I just had gotten elected. I didn't know anybody. I went in, and guess who's sitting there? My friend from many years earlier. And I looked at her, and I said, Ava, I still have your pencil. And she burst out laughing because she had noticed it, too. I said, I didn't try to steal it. Let me bring it to you tomorrow. And I did. And that was a case of a very clear, very simple karmic loop being closed, opening and then being closed. And I did still have her pencil. I had stuck it in my desk. It was there to remind me to be more careful with stuff. Yeah, a little bit. that was kind of an amusing one. Let's see, I had another one roaming around in my head that was not quite so clear cut, and that's kind of disappeared from me. I have a caller, though. I'm going to take my caller now. I'm trying to take my caller, and it's not letting me. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Peter. Hello. Hello, Peter.
Hello. Who am I speaking with? Hello.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, this is John.
Oh, hi, John.
How you doing, Peter? Love your show. As always, the topic that you have, I realized over the past couple of years, a lot has happened in the last 3 years, let's say, we're at 2010, and just lately I just realized how powerful human attachment is, you know. I happen to be a sensitive, and sometimes you just don't realize how powerful these forces are. And I know in my own foster way, that I would suffer the process like I did in 2007, 3 years ago. It was a hill to climb. It was, a tough thing. An old football coach saw a little card from me, and he said, it's a tough thing to get through. And I said, it didn't dawn on me at that time. This was, a few days after the funeral. And couldn't believe it until a month later, a month and a half later, whatever it was. I didn't think I was going to get by it. You know, I mean, it was just like they say, time is a healer. It was a tough road. And just lately I had something, I was sensitive, to lack of words here, the whim of the day, the vibrations, weakness got a hold of me. I know I believe in surrender and all these other, just what you're talking about too. And maybe it is because I am the nature of the way I am or something that I just, I couldn't say my way out of. You create a problem for yourself, or you just get bogged down, and I don't even know how to describe it. You know, I just know that there are forces that are powerful. It's easy to say, how to overcome something, but just sometimes there are things you need some help with. There's no question about it. So like my own father, and my father passed away. The reason I had a problem with my father was because I didn't realize it. He was part of my support system, so to speak. And that's how I look at it today. And also because I tend to be very sensitive, super sensitive to loss. And human attachment is a very powerful thing, whether it's karmic or I don't know too much about that stuff, except that I realize now how powerful attachment is. And that's just what I wanted to say, that I think now I realize, I need to have help, have ways of going about helping myself whenever I get into these situations, because they're very powerful, very, very powerful forces, is what I wanted to say. Sometimes you don't realize.
Well, it's always good to know when to ask for help, and there's no reason not to. I would say, be careful who you ask for help, but anytime that you have an unbalanced energy flow in a relationship, and it sounds like with your father particularly that might have been the case, you're going to tend to form energetic attachments, whether they're karmic or not, but they'll still be attachments to that person and to their energy. And all of those things have the potential to be able to keep you stuck in old habit patterns. That's one reason why I think a lot of times when people have like substance abuse problems, or they kind of get or in some kind of a psychological or habit pattern that they're getting stuck in a rut, that one of the most effective treatments is to take them completely out of the environment that they're accustomed to and have them function on their daily lives in a completely new situation, because it forces them to sever those connections and learn how to function on their own. So, yeah, that's being ultra sensitive. I very much sympathize with you on that one, because when I was younger, I was an extremely sensitive being to the point where, you know, I was tissue paper, literally. And I've kind of toughened up a little bit over time, but not really. I can still be really badly hurt, but it's that I bounce. And I think you can do that,
people,
too.
People could, you know, you could be little. People could tell you, oh, well, don't be so, you know, I heard that when I was a kid. Oh, don't be so, my mother would always tell me, you know, or somebody would say, don't be so sensitive, you know, or whatever. It doesn't mean a thing. Because it's like trying to change your, you know, you can, I mean, you just can't, you know, it's just a way, that's the way it is, you know. Well,
yeah, it's,
I mean,
like
you
saying,
stop
being 6 feet tall.
Yeah, it's not that easy, you know. I mean, it's just not that easy. Not that simple.
Yeah, it's not, you can't change that. And you shouldn't. Honestly, being sensitive is actually a gift, because sensitive people tend to be very empathic and have a great deal of compassion for other people. So I think it's a positive. We don't have in this world. I'm sorry?
Go from one extreme to the only thing I can think to say is that's why you have to know the nuts like or whatever, you know, from one extreme to the other, you know, from being very sensitive to being, you know, totally insensitive, that's it.
That's called a conversion reaction in psychology, where you go from one opposite to the other. Because, also known as becoming your enemy.
Yeah.
A person who is bully can become a bully, for example. Yeah, that's strict textbook psychology right there. It's actually it's a normal reaction to an abnormal situation. But there are better ways to handle that, of course.
You know, create a shell, you know, it's a, you know, the same thing, I guess.
Yeah. Better than creating a shell, however, is to find the power that you have in that and become philosophical about the way that other people are behaving. What I did to get myself where I could deal with the slings and arrows of normal daily life was that I just tried to understand what must be going on in the other person's head to be making them mean the way they were. What was going on in their head that made their behavior acceptable to them? Because one thing that I learned is that people always act on a positive. You don't ever act on a negative. There's no way to act on a negative. You think, well, you know, well, I see the lion coming after me and I'm going to run away, and that's positive. No. The thought is not the away strategy. The thought is the preservation strategy. You're trying to preserve yourself. See what I'm saying? So if somebody's being mean to me, why are they being mean to me? Why are they being negative? What is it they really want? Maybe they're feeling insecure about their job and I'm making them look bad. Something like that. You know, understand what, you know, what's going on in another person's head. Sometimes you can look at it and go, you know, I just don't know what's going on in that person's head. But you know what? It's their right to behave that way. All I have to do is protect myself. I'm okay. I'm sure I'm okay because I've checked every way I know how to check. I'm not causing them a problem. The problem is theirs. Put the ownership of the behavior on the person who actually owns it. A lot of times when we have hurts from other people, it's because we've taken ownership for something that happened, when what happened was actually the result of something that was the other person's problem. You can't fix other people. You can't take away, you know, you can't take away their responsibility for things. Now, I realize it sounds a little opposite with saying you have to do that to discharge the karmic debt. This is
I heard that before. It's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that.
Exactly. Well, Chris just put it down to boundary issues. The question is, are we talking about a 3D interaction purely, or are we talking about an energetic reaction? Boundary issues are very much in the 3D realm. Energetic reactions may cross 3D and go into other realms as well. So we have to be a little bit careful on how we define those. Did you get all the stuff that you wanted to discuss?
Yeah.
Done?
That's fine. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Do you want to hang on here? You can hang on here, or you can hang up. I've got another caller, and I'm going to go ahead and bring them on at this time. Or I'm going to try, since my switchboard's not responding. 763, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm right here. Hello, Ketter Cat.
Oh, hello, Search Kitty.
Having fun yet?
Do I sound like I'm having fun?
Yeah, a little. I mean, I know you're having a vortice problem in the shape of a tropical storm, which I was trying to harness. But anyway, okay. On the subject of karma, have any of you tried burning karma?
Why don't you tell us what that's all about?
Giving into the fire of transfiguration and saying, I'm going to have no more of this. It's done nothing but weigh me down.
Are we talking like purple flame?
Yes.
Well, I've heard of others that have done that. I haven't had any success with it myself.
I seem to have success. Have had success, which is why I'm bringing it up. Now, I'm not telling everyone to go out and do it, because I only know how to do it because I did it in a past life, and I don't want to get into that right now.
Well,
but that's what worked for me, and I was wondering if any of you... Huh?
Yeah.
What did you say, Ketter?
I said, why don't you tell us
Ketter?
Your method?
Oh, I just stood in the center of my room, and I said I commit...
For a second?
Yes. I just stood in the center of my room, and I... said that I commit this karma to the flame of transfiguration. It is mine no longer.
And it just went away. Poof.
Boom. Gone.
How do you
no
know?
No more flashbacks. No more memories. No more, you know,
awesome.
Weird waking up in sweats or any of that stuff. We personally discussed that.
Was that something that was perhaps karma that was only held within yourself?
Yes, that was self.
Yeah.
That was
when
left over from self-guilt. That was left over from self-guilt.
Okay.
The classic example is I'm not good enough. The example I was dealing with is I'm not normal enough.
Yeah.
That's probably an offshoot of I'm not good enough. Huh?
Yeah. That's a good way to deal with something when it's a completely internal thing. The trickier ones are when it involves other people, because it's really true that if the other person is not letting go, guess what? You're stuck. You have to find
pretty much,
another way to discard.
And that's why I went,
off.
You know, and that's why I went up the street to my friend Jeff and I said, look, we need to call it off. I had a relationship issue with a guy named Jeff, and that's what it was. Something was dragging me down, and that's what it was. And I said, look, we need to disconnect.
Yep, sometimes that's all
you're sucking
do.
You're sucking me dry. And I know that my living situation frightens you, and I know that what I bring up in conversation frightens you even more.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to break it off.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all you can do with friends when you have.
We did. I walked home and everything was A-okay.
Okay.
And yeah, I know you were talking about interrelationships, and I don't really specialize in relationships if you haven't noticed that.
You're fine. I know, so Dixie just put up in the chat, release of cell memory. That may have something to do with it, particularly with traumas, things that involved a physical danger or something like that. Cell memory can definitely
Mine
hold.
Was more mental psychological. I mean, because as I have said, and I'll keep this short, I swear to God I will. As I have said before, what they tried to do to me when I lived in the group home was psychological. Because they knew that if it was physical, what was going to happen to them? They'd get investigated.
Yeah, well, sick people. Sick people. I understand.
So just a brief history. Around 1980, they started to switch to psychological means.
Well,
but that's all I have to say on that.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. It's like schools attract pedophiles. Well, facilities where people are going to be vulnerable attract people that want to feed on them. So that makes perfect sense to me. I have one more caller. I'm going to go ahead and roll them on really quick. We only have 3 minutes left.
Wow, all right.
And,
have fun.
Let's see. Hang on.
This is Bitchy Trampoline signing off. See me soon. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Okay, sir, skinny.
What did I say?
905.
Did I say same cat channel?
Nine oh five, you're on the air. I guess 905 just wants to listen.
Hello? Pick me up. Hello.
Hello, 905. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing? Been standing 3 minutes.
I'm doing all right, thank you. We only got a couple minutes, so
yeah, I know.
I'm gonna let you talk.
Yeah, no. I just lost audio and this and that and the other thing, and I thought it was an hour show, and it just was cruising. I'm trying to get audio back on my computer, and it's really frustrating. And otherwise, it would have been here right at the top of the show. But I'll let you carry on then. And so maybe you can extend it, but maybe you can't. To say it quickly. Hello?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I just, in regards to karma, and I thought there was a dharma, and karma, you know, clearing karma is definitely something serious that everybody should have a lifestyle to live by, and to always respect others' energies as well. And to acknowledge them, and to make sure that what you do in your days that you live, that you do not create any of your own, because really, if you want to further expand on where you are already in the now, then you don't want to carry on any karma whatsoever. You want to clear it, and I think that's where dharma comes in, but I'm not quite sure about that. But anyway, it's getting late.
Okay, great. I'm just going to say one thing here, and then we're going to end up closing the show. The key that I found to dealing with karma and releasing karma is that if you let go, that it will pull you in the direction that you need to go to deal with it. And you'd be amazed how much it takes with it, because when karma's pulling you in that one direction, you're going to be trying to make attachment points in other areas to keep yourself kind of counterbalanced there.
Yeah.
So when you let go and let that thing just draw you in, all of those other things are going to let loose too.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is, the earlier you can catch it, just let it go. Go through the blender if you have to. But just go through it, because you're going to have to eventually anyway. And the longer you let it ride, the more attachments you're going to have to break loose.
Most definitely.
So, love to everybody. And we're going to go ahead and close out the show at this point with Cambodian Odyssey by Kevin MacLeod.